Hello, listeners. This is Dr. Taylor Hartman. I'm here with Very Best of Living and my friend Kat Larson. Hi, Kat.
Taylor Hartman.
Taylor Hartman is in the house.
He's in the house.
I have a very interesting direction I want to go today on today's podcast. Okay. I want to talk about being wrong. I want to talk about what it feels like to be wrong. And why?
No idea what you're talking about. I've never been there.
It'll be a new experience for you. I'm sure your husband will be happy.
Every 7 minutes, I am.
You're going through this experience. I'm coming to be clear that in my work with people in mental health and in relationships, that perhaps the most freeing moment of your life is when you admit you're wrong. And it doesn't happen easily or often. What I discover is that most often people stay stuck in being right. That's more important to them than the relationship, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's also more important to them than getting better. And so they stay with things that are wrong, but don't admit it. I don't know if maybe our listeners can think about a time in their life when they realized or they woke up to being wrong. And what that felt like. And for some people that are egotistical, it's very painful. It's like no one wants to admit they're wrong, but especially those that are egotistical. But the reality is that, you know, in my life, when I have really just recognized something was, oh my gosh, like that is wrong. Like maybe it's the kind of food you eat. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the way you treat your neighbor. Maybe whatever it might be. Maybe it's how you treat your spouse. Mm-hmm. Being able to say, that was wrong. It was like in a podcast you and I did where you said, I was wrong in the way I managed Paco. I didn't do him any benefits or myself. It wasn't intentional, but I was wrong. Right. And what you said to that was how freeing it was when you came to that awareness.
Yeah.
And I was so moved by that because I will tell you, it is a marker of good mental health when you can actually say, I was wrong. So number one, you got to start by admitting it to yourself. Mm-hmm. And then number two, you have to say it to the other person that you don't want to say it to. But what it does for them is it builds trust and hope when they can see you actually saying, I'm sorry, but I don't care whether it's been years. If you can actually get to the place where you can say, I see it differently now. I didn't see that before. I was wrong. And it's what actually lends to a change in the relationship. It's what it does. I think the people that are always right are stuck. They can't get the freedom that comes from being wrong. So I think of clients that I've worked with through the years. One company that I work with, this guy, he is so wrong on so many levels, it is frightening. And he can't see one. Not one. He literally does not see how he is the obstacle. Everybody moves around in the company. And he's blocking the progress and the success of the company. And yet he does not see it at all. And when I call him out about it, he goes, no one's ever said that to me. Well, of course not. Because they're protecting their jobs. It's not, they don't have a chance to. But your ex-wife kind of told you. And your kids have kind of told you, but you never allow them space. So you never stay wrong. In your mind, you never even get there. Like if they understood why you do what you do, they'd understand that you're right. That's what you do. And it's sad. There's a couple that I worked with for 2 years, and she tried so hard to make this relationship work. He could never admit he was wrong, even though things he was doing were so pervasively inappropriate. I mean, so clearly to anybody, they were wrong. But he always disguised them or made them look like there's a reason for it. And he never let anyone ever see the truth of what was really going on. But she lived it until she finally had enough. And after many, many, many years, she divorced him. And he could never admit he was wrong ever for why things happened. He milked the audience. Like, woe is me. Can you believe she's leaving me like this? How hard it's going to be at my age to move on? On and on and on. Never once did he admit he was wrong. And I, because I was a third party and entitled to see, I could see so much wrong that he had done and was still doing, but he couldn't. So I'd like our listeners to think about, well, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I think the world is flat and I'm standing by it. And yet it's not flat. So maybe the way I've decided that like reds are, or yellows are, or whites are, or blues are, is wrong. Maybe I'm misreading the tea leaves. Or maybe the way that I'm going about my parenting is wrong. Maybe the way I'm approaching spirituality is wrong. I mean, maybe there's aspects of your life you could just be healthy enough to go, ah, I don't think I've got that right. Can you help me with that? Could we look at it differently? Maybe I don't communicate like I thought I did, or maybe I was justifying why I didn't communicate, but that's wrong. That kind of stuff.
It is like when I look at it, the piece of humility and compassion for self and others that has to be in place to get there is pretty big, because most people that I have dealt with that are always right, that have to be right, they just see it as a weakness to be wrong. It's like, it is a weakness to not know.
Yes. Yes. You're right. That is true. And yet the reason they are saying that is because they're too insecure to entertain it. Mm-hmm. They can't even allow the possibility because they're already so frail and inadequate and weak that the idea that they might admit they're wrong, which actually would be a strength, they think would just cave them in. And so they stay stuck. They defend themselves for being wrong to the point that like this man lost his wife. Best thing that ever happened to him was her. But he couldn't be wrong. And I think you're right. People that they feel more secure in being right, mm-hmm. even if it's destructive and ineffective. Mm-hmm. You know, I asked the question, who is the person that loved you most effectively? The bottom line is effectively. There's many people that love, but it's not effective. And so I'm asking the same thing in terms of your relationships. Like if you are being right at the expense of a relationship, that's wrong. And yet it's hard for people, very hard for people to just say, I think I've got that wrong, or I'm not really sure about that. Give me your idea about that again. How is it you saw that? Or why did you feel that way? Every time I've gone there, Kat, by the way, I am kind of blown away. I'll be honest with you. I'm like, oh, I mean, I didn't know that I was right, but I didn't think I was that wrong. So it's so telling. Now I think about this couple that I've worked with, that she has caused her children not to trust or love their dad and justified it for years. And I mean, he ended up doing far more for any of them than she ever did, but she milked it and worked it so that they were the victims and he was the monster. And all he ever asked of her was to admit, now that her children are all screwed up, every one of them are struggling. He says, mm-hmm. could you just maybe see that maybe that wasn't really in the best interest of the children? No. Are you kidding me? No. And then she'd redo her scenario, her narrative of how it was her that was the better parent, her that cared more, her that did the right things. To this day, she cannot begin to see how wrong she has been as a mom. So if you're stuck doing that, by the way, I want you to start thinking about it. What's that doing to your life? And what's it doing to the person you say you love? Is that really helping them? Or are you blocking and preventing them from living the quality of life they'd like to live?
Yeah, I think what you feed yourself in that, it's everybody does it, but that's a pretty strong red trait, right? Need to be right.
Very important. Reds are insecure. And reds are very resourceful and they kind of pay attention. So to them, it's a weakness not to know. You're right. Reds probably struggle with this more than anyone. But remember, blues have the moral code, the higher path. So they can be very, very rigid in terms of their sense of, I'm morally right. And they can make people feel inadequate and less than because they aren't measuring up to what the blue thinks they should be. So both have that, right?
Well, and really, it's, I don't know why it's not obvious. I think I've been caught in this some, is that you are so much more inviting and people want to be around you more and will listen to you more when you're not always right. I mean, people scatter when the always right person comes around.
100%. They're not comfortable. They aren't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've shared that story that man, I was at Orange County Airport and they're flying out for someone, he and his wife and two kids, and they missed their flight. They literally missed it. They're sitting in the airport and missed the flight. And mm-hmm. he stands up and says, I am the dumbest human being in this airport. I cannot believe I just did that. And off they went. They figured it out. They found another flight. But I was so mesmerized, instead of yelling at the flight attendant or, you know, at the person at the desk or getting mad at his kids, he just said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just sat there. I sat through the entire thing. I'm the dumbest human being in this airport. And nobody had a problem with him. We all thought he was endearing, just very engaging. And he was admitting I was wrong. Mm-hmm. And once, you know, it's funny, Kat, a lot of times people say, why do I keep getting beat up for things? And I'm like, because you never say you're wrong. They want to keep undressing you because you keep putting clothes back on. They want you to finally say, I'm naked. I'm wrong. I didn't do it. And you won't do that. So they keep trying to beat you up to get just a pound of flesh. Give me something where you admit you were wrong. But the more insecure you are, the weaker you are, you can't do that. You can't admit it because it would make you look foolish.
Well, and you can't really have any power to hang with people. That's the other thing is like, I don't trust people like that because they can't, you can't be strong unless, to me, you can't be strong and vulnerable unless you are like, I'm uncertain. If you don't sit in uncertainty, how do you ever build anything that I can trust?
That's a great point.
Right?
I mean, if they're already at the peak and you know they're not, but they think they are, what value do you bring to the relationship?
Right.
I think it's a great point. And it's a very big red flag. I mean, I have no problem with people that are very sharp at certain things they know. That's great. I love that about people. But if it's everything, I mean, I'm like, really? There's nothing you struggle with or don't have great skill at. No, I really kind of very good at everything. Well, but if you look at the dots and collect them and look at what's your life's like, that's not how other people see you, right? I think it's important for people to realize that relationships at the end of the day are all that life is about. And if you're always right and never wrong, you're hurting the very thing you claim is important, which is relationships. It's like if you have a parent that's always right, how do the kids ever grow up being right? How do they ever become adults? Because you're the one that's always right, not them. And they've learned that to navigate a life with you. So it's just across, even leaders in businesses that are always right, they don't develop leadership underneath them because everybody has to defer to them being right about everything. But the tenderness I have experienced when I've actually heard somebody say things like, I think I was wrong about that.
Yeah.
It's so tender. And I'm not saying it's always perfect. Like sometimes people will say that and then they get jumped on. Like it's right. often the case if you've always been right, then people are like, they see an opening, they can take you down now. But
right.
generally, don't you find it very inviting when someone says that?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. And then they really start listening to you and quit interrupting you. And
yeah.
They finally get to know who you are because you never can finish a sentence around people that are always right.
I love that one. Someone on my Instagram, I loved when they asked the question, as a Red, how can I be more caring? I mean, what a great question, right? The fact that they asked it. And my response was, just listen. Listen. Yes. Don't interrupt people.
Yes.
Don't just listen to them. I don't think many people understand the power that comes when someone feels seen and heard and not interrupted. Now, there are a few people that I have to remind them that there is a time limit here. You cannot just go on forever and ever. But in general, I don't find people do that. In general, people are like, they're so shocked that they're actually getting to speak. They stop. Like they get it out there. But it's a very caring thing to let somebody just expose their thinking about something. And what I've decided is that the smartest, most healthy people I've ever known are the ones that listen the best. They're not trying to put on a show of having all the answers. They are very curious. Like one of my friends who I think is just an amazing man and what an entrepreneur, he is so curious. He always wants to know more about something. Tell me more about what that felt like to you, or would you do it again? And what, if you did it differently, would you do it differently next time?
Oh, I love that.
They're so inviting. Instead of saying, oh my gosh, you know what? I did that too. Let me tell you what I did. I'm always so stunned when someone trumps a conversation. Like, they have to top it. Like, they just have to put something in that puts it, makes them more important than you.
Oh, there's something else for my mirror. Tell me more. I can't even see myself in my mirror because there's so many coaching notes I have, by the way. It's funny. Well, I don't need to see myself. You know, they're gone. So, but I just love that. Tell me more instead of, oh, yeah, you know, once I went and.
Yes.
And I find myself wanting to do that still sometimes. I really have to be disciplined not to.
I love the word discipline. It does take discipline. Not to want to top someone or jump on top of it or show more energy towards what you did versus what they're sharing.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
Well, I just think it was a connection, but it isn't.
No, you think you're connecting, but you're really making it about you. That's what you're doing.
Yeah. Yep.
And by the way, it's very cool when someone does care enough to say, well, didn't you do that same trip? How did you experience it?
Let it come from that side.
Oh, yes.
I love that.
Yep.
Not a lot of people do, but I would I think that's a good thing to look for.
I do too. If you don't need to go there, why go there? Let them bring it up or just let it go. Let them share what they're experiencing or what their life's about, right? It's not that I don't want people to feel like they can't share their life. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But don't top or trump somebody else who's in the process of sharing something. And please, just here's the beauty of what I want you to think about as listeners. When is the last time you said, I think I got that wrong? I think I did you a disservice. I think I was unfair to you. I didn't see it that way before. Thank you.
Oh.
Those comments are so inviting and enhancing of a relationship. Life doesn't get a lot better. And we talked earlier about what does loving look like? That's one thing loving looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to quit for today. It's a short one, quick one.
All right.
I hope you have a wonderful week. Listeners, we love you and thank you for being on this journey with us. This is Dr. Taylor Hartman and Kat Larson signing off from Very Best of Living. See you next week.
Bye. Love you guys.
Bye now.
Hey, Color Code family. It's Kathy Larson. I want you to take down a number. I want you to put this in your contact list under the people code. The number is 385-526-2350. Again, 385-526-2350. Text the word VIP to that number and you'll get back from us a request for your name and your email. That way we'll be in touch with you on anything that's happening at the People Code, any offerings, exciting things that are coming up, and you can let us know what your needs are by texting us at that number. Look forward to staying connected even more. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.